1 Peter chapter 5, notice verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see that? Word devour. It shows up in several places in your Bible, the word devour. And when you do the study that we're going to do tonight, what you'll learn is some ways that the devil devours, who he uses and what he's looking for. There are many attributes to the devil, many things that he does in order to attack or to make life difficult. So we're not going to be comprehensive in all of that. We're going to limit our study tonight to three areas where we see this roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth and he spoke about the devil and he made a comparison between himself and the devil, he said, I'm the good shepherd. That's what he said, I am. And I give my life for the sheep. But he called the devil a thief, and he said that he's come really for no other reason than to steal and to kill, and to destroy. So very, very different. Mutually exclusive from the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's a counterfeit. He is a pretender. So oftentimes he's mistaken. Oftentimes Jesus Christ gets blamed for something the devil did. What we're going to do today is we're going to follow the Bible through in some places where we find this word devour, and see how the devil does his work when it comes to what you just read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Now, before we leave this passage, because we won't have to come back, notice that Peter wrote and said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. One of the ways for us to be vigilant, one of the ways for us to be sober, is to do the study we're doing so that we have some awareness of this enemy. You know, if you are in battle, some of you have actually served in the military. Many of us have read accounts. You have a real advantage if you know what your enemy is doing. That intelligence is vital, oftentimes, to a successful defense or a successful attack. So we want to get some information tonight. We want to see what's going on. And I'm going to say to you three things about how the devil devours or how he does his work. And the first is going to be this. He devours by the wicked. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He devours by the wicked. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the reason we're going to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is just so you'll know that the person, the supernatural being behind the work of the Antichrist is in fact the devil, and he's called the wicked. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, many of you know this passage, and it has to do with what's going to take place before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 8, the Bible says, then shall that wicked, see that with a capital W? Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That wicked. So a lot of times what you see in the news, or what you see in front of your eyes, you think is the work of men against men or countries against countries, and you don't see the devil behind that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, at some point, that wicked will be revealed, and then you'll know who it is that was actually behind the work. So he devours by the wicked. What are some of those ways? All right, I'm going to turn you to an obscure passage in the Old Testament. By that I mean, if you're not a Bible reader, you may not know where to find Habakkuk. Okay? But But I want you to go to your Old Testament, and I want you to go to the book of Habakkuk. And you say, well, thanks. Well, it's right before Zephaniah. Okay, that helps. Well, it's right after Nahum. Okay, that helps. Habakkuk, you may even have to refer to the index. But you need to see this. The Bible is our instructor. We need to see these things together. In Habakkuk chapter 1, we want verse 13, but we better read verse 12 for the context. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? So the devil devours by the wicked, and one of the ways he does it is he takes wicked men to devour men that are more righteous than he. Does any thought come to mind about some wicked men that ganged up on a righteous man one day and devoured him? Who comes to mind? The Lord Jesus Christ? You see, those wicked men that ganged up on Jesus Christ were not regarded by the people of their day as wicked men. They were Pharisees. The Pharisees were religious leaders in their community. They were the ones who were handing down religious ordinances. They would be like popes and cardinals and priests as an example, or the prophet in Mormon, or the Watchtower Society in Jehovah's Witness, or whatever. They're just regarded as, wait, these are the religious leaders. But when Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, came to save us as a righteous man, you remember at Jesus' trial, Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. He had no sin. He did no sin. And yet they accused him of sin. And at his trial, convicted him and turned him over to the Gentiles to be crucified. You see, that you would not have recognized, if you were alive at that time, that that was actually the work of the devil in opposition to the work of God. Now, God used that to bring about our salvation because it's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? By which we are saved. But look whose hands his blood was on. And these that were wicked devoured the man that is more righteous than he. When you read through the Old Testament, time and again, you're going to find leaders that are in the king's court. The prophets are prophesying for the Lord God something that is going to happen in Israel or Judah, and trying to get their attention so they would turn to righteousness. And these leaders in the king's court would kill the prophets because they didn't like the message. The old saying is, if you don't like the message, kill the messenger. And that's the wicked, according to this passage, devouring the man that is more righteous than he. Turn a little bit further back in your Old Testament. In other words, going left or going back to the Psalms. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 30. See it again. What did that Bible say about the devil in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8? He was like a roaring what? Like a roaring lion. Jeremiah chapter 2, look at verse 30. In vain, the Lord is saying to Israel or Judah, in vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a what? A destroying lion. These are the people that are entrusted with authority, and they were using their authority to kill the prophets that were warning them about the impending destruction that was coming their way because of the abuse of their authority as they were turning people away from the Lord God. Why would we want to study this? We want to study this because of something that may happen even in our country at some day in the future before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. You know, I've said many times from the scripture, we are to obey authority. Romans chapter 13. We are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I believe that, live by that. But I'm going to tell you something. There may come a day when those that are in authority may say, preacher, you can't preach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. Just like they said to Peter in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. And you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to keep preaching. You don't ever want to see in your country. I mean, this has happened in other countries, and I'm not a prognosticator. I'm not prognosticating bad news. I'm trying to tell you, when that happens, that's the devil at work to stop the work of God. And at that point, we have to say, you know what? We obey everything, but we're not going to obey you when what you ask us to obey is contrary to what God told us to do. Can't do that. And the devil will use men in authority in order to thwart the work of God, in order to stop God's men. He really hasn't. There's no liberty that we enjoy today that has been restricted in any way in the work that we do. And thank God for that. I pray for that all the time, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And I pray for those that are in authority, just like the Bible tells us to do. But we have to recognize, once the devil gets in there, he can twist it to thwart the work of God, just like those men were killing prophets in Jeremiah's day, just like the Pharisees were responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in his day. You understand? You understand? You got to be sober, and you got to be vigilant. Look at Matthew chapter 23, going on with this, he devours by the wicked. Matthew chapter 23. When Jesus Christ was here on this earth, his biggest opponents were the guys that were the religious leaders. And they were threatened. He got up a big following, and they were losing their following. He was preaching, and the stuff they had imposed on the people, was what he was preaching against. And in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus Christ takes the Pharisees to task, and he gives them a scathing rebuke over and over and over again in Matthew chapter 23. But look what he says in verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Again, the Pharisees were the religious leaders. But notice, one of the things they did is that they preyed upon widows. They devoured, that's the word we're cross-referencing through Scripture, devoured widows' houses. They used their religious position and the honor that people gave them in their religious positions to take money. We're supposed to give. The Bible tells us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The Bible tells us we're supposed to do that. But when you are coerced into giving to somebody that is propagating religious stuff that is contrary to God, they're devouring widows' houses. You see that? You say, well, yeah, but that's just the way men are. There's somebody behind that. There's a roaring lion that's involved in this work. People say, I don't like organized religion. And I can see why. A lot of organized religion has produced more chaos and harm to the work of Christ than just plain old Bible-believing Christianity. I get that. But a lot of it has to do with the abuse of power to rip money off of people's wallets. You say, oh, that fine man that dresses so well and stands there so portly and priestly or whatever, he wouldn't dare do a thing like that. Yeah, he would. Yeah, they will. He devours by the wicked. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ is giving some parables, and in verse 3, we're going to go to verse 4, but in verse 3, he, that's Jesus in Matthew 13, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and, what's the next word? Devoured them up. Now he goes on and talks about other soil that the sower sows in, but go now to Matthew chapter 13 and look at verse 18 for the beginning of the interpretation of this parable. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh whom? The wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And what happens is this. You and I are given the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility of sowing the seed of the Word of God. And one of the simplest ways we can do that is with those Bible tracts that are hanging up there on the wall in the foyer. You go to lunch and you can leave one there for the wait staff. You can give one to the host or hostess when you go into the restaurant. You can take one to the convenience store. You can give one to the cashier at your grocery store. You give one to your neighbor. They're just so easy to put out. And the Bible says that the wicked one is looking to see where that seed is sown. And if he finds that seed sown in a heart that is having difficulty initially understanding the Word of God, like a bird picking up seed on your driveway. Anybody ever scatter seed on your driveway? Yeah, they'll come right down there and eat that. He said he'll take that word right out of the heart of that person. I gave you this illustration before, but it's been a while, and I was reminded of it when I was thinking about this. I've got a friend of mine who has a fellow that works for him. And that fellow that works for him is not saved. He grew up like I did in the Catholic Church. And so he's very loyal to what he learned when he was younger. And my friend said, would you come over and talk to this fellow? This fellow, let's just say his name was Jake. It wasn't, but I'll just say his name was Jake. Would you come and talk to him about the Lord? And I said, sure. So we met in the kitchen. There's my friend, there's Jake, here I am talking. And I'm going through the gospel with him, just like I'll do in here sometimes, very thoroughly. That Jesus died, you're a sinner, Jesus died for your sins, and that he was buried and rose again, and he'll give you eternal life if you'll trust him. Very thoroughly, we probably talked for 45 minutes, maybe even an hour. He asked questions and I answered. And I'm telling you what, you could tell when I was talking to this guy, there was a genuine interest. He was in his 60s. Genuine interest in what he was hearing. So when I got to the end of the gospel, and I thought, I just thought, surely this guy now is going to pray to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. Just seemed so receptive. And I said to him, but I'm not pushy. I'll persuade you, but I'm not going to pressure you. And I said to him, you know, you've heard the gospel today. You now know eternal life is in Jesus Christ. You now know he died for your sins. And if you'll trust him as your Savior, you'll be saved. You'll have eternal life. You'll die and go to heaven when you die. Absolutely sure, according to the scripture. What would you like to do? Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior now, or would you like some time to think about it? And I kid you not, that guy started on his religious training. He said, well, you know, We're supposed to be good, do the best we can, go to church, do the sacraments. And I was like, I have just witnessed the wicked one come into this house and steal that seed that was sown in that man's heart. I've prayed for him. I talked to my friend the other day and I asked him how that guy's doing. He said, he's just as hard now as he was back then when you talked to him. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just flipped it like that, like nothing ever happened. And I've seen that happen on more than one occasion. I'm thinking of another fellow I used to witness 2 years ago when I lived in Pensacola. I would go by and visit that guy at least every other week. And when I'd go by to visit him, it was like starting all over again. Everything that had been sown, been stolen, boom, like that. You know who that is? That's the wicked one. That's the wicked one. Why does he do that? Because Jesus Christ died for those souls and the devil is on his way to the lake of fire. And there's comfort in knowing that more people are going to wind up in the lake of fire than they are going to wind up with Jesus in heaven. He's an absolute adversary to the Word of God. The devil devours by the wicked. He devours men that are more righteous than he, widows' houses, and seeds of the Word of God sown in the hearts of men before they even know to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Tragic, tragic. But I'll show you one more before we move on to the second point. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Let me say this while you turn to Revelation chapter 12. Don't take every interruption when you're preaching the gospel as something the devil's doing to try to thwart your effort. I have found that sometimes a distraction will come up and it's almost as if the Lord brought it just to be sure that the guy was sincerely interested. I've had people get a phone call from a loved one right in the middle of witness to him and they'll, oh, that's my brother or my mother or my father calling. I say, oh, do you need to take it? Nah. Keep going. You know what that is? You got a guy genuinely or a lady genuinely interested in hearing the gospel. Some will take that interruption and say, no, that's enough. Sometimes that's from the devil. Sometimes maybe it's from the Lord. But you can be sure when you've sowed seed in a person's heart, it's just like nothing's been sown there. The devil came behind your efforts and put that right out of that soil. It's wicked. Revelation chapter 12 is about a woman in verse 1. Clothed of the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. If you hadn't studied the Bible in this passage, you wouldn't really have a clue who that is. But I'll tell you who it is just so we can get to the verse of Scripture we're looking for. This is Israel. This is Israel. And she is travailing in verse 2 in birth to be pain and pain to be delivered. In verse 3, there's a great red dragon. You know who that might be? That's Satan. That's the wicked. And in verse 4, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. Watch it. For to devour her child as soon as it was born. To devour her child as soon as it was born. Well, there are a couple of things we could say about the passage. Jesus Christ raised and the promised seed of Israel. The devil did plenty of things to try to derail God's plan for Jesus Christ to be our Redeemer. But the nation of Israel, according to this text, going on to verse 5 and 6, is going to be a nation born in a day. And I'm going to tell you something so you understand. The devil is the arch enemy of the nation of Israel to devour that child. When you read in the news, and you're reading in the news right now, and you see things going on with Israel, and you study the history of Israel all back there when Pharaoh was around and they were slaves in Egypt, when Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed the city and the temple and took them captive, when they were under the Medes and the Persians but were allowed to go back to their own town, when they were under Roman dominion and cooperative Pharisees in Jesus' day, and what's coming, just you got to know this. That nation, singled out above all nations, has an enemy that wants to devour that nation. And according to Psalm 83, we won't turn there, he is going to organize the nations of the world into a confederacy to attack that nation so that they will not be a nation anymore. He won't succeed. But when you're reading through there and you say, how in the world could a man like Hitler come up and do what he did to all those Jews? The devil is an adversary to that nation. You got to know it. And so when you read in the news and you say this, that, and the other things happening, just remember this. The devil, by the wicked, has always been out to destroy Israel, and he will continue to do it until he is chained in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. When he comes out of that bottomless pit, at the end of the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, he's going to make one more attempt to gather up the nations in Revelation chapter 20 to try to destroy that nation. And that's when God will destroy him with fire and send him to the lake of fire forever. Praise God. Praise God. But don't look for any change in his attitude between now and then, okay? So what have we seen so far? The devil devours by the wicked. Men more righteous than he. Widows' houses to make religions rich. Seed sown by us in the heart of people who don't know him yet. And against that nation of Israel. Just book it. He's always going to be an enemy. You know why a lot of people today don't go out and try to talk to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's when you come face to face with your adversary. It's nice to be in here and be comfortable, isn't it? It's air conditioned and we got comfortable seats and you see your friends and you enjoy great fellowship, get to sing together, hear a little bit of preaching, learn some things out of the Word of God. You go out there with the Bible and try to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that you're in a territory that has an adversary to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people are like, I don't know if I want to go out there and see all that. Listen, if you don't go in the armor of God to try to reach them, they may never get reached. Just, you got to understand, if you stand in the armor of God, according to Ephesians chapter 6, you can withstand. And the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You don't have to worry about that. But just know this, there'll be some fiery darts. Don't worry about that. God wins. God wins. Speaking of that, I'm reminded of something I've told you before, and it kind of want to tell the story again. You know, that's what happens when we get older. I remember I had a friend of mine. I said, did I ever tell you about? And I thought, yeah, he did, but I'm going to listen to it anyway. When he got a lot older, then he just said, I know I've already told you about, but I'm going to tell you again. We had in our city, he doesn't live here anymore, a fellow that was over at one of the Christian schools here, and they were using modern Bibles. We're believing the King James Bible and preach and teach out of it. And one day he told me a little story. When he was in Dallas Theological Seminary, they were playing basketball in the gym, and the custodian was sitting in the bleachers waiting for them to finish so he could lock up the gym. And one of the time the ball got loose and bounced up in the bleachers right by there, and when this guy that I'm talking to went up in the bleachers, he saw that the custodian was reading the Bible. He said, man, what you doing? He said, reading the Bible? He said, which one? He said, King James. He said, well, do you understand what you're reading? He said, I do. He said, what book are you in? Revelation? He said, you understand what you're reading? He said, well, sure I do. He said, what do you understand? He said, Jesus is going to win. That's right. He's going to win. He's going to win. Don't you worry about that. He devours by the wicked, but that's not all. Turn to Judges chapter 9. I know you're looking at a little more Bible tonight than you might be used to on a Sunday night, but how else are we going to learn if we don't see it from the book itself? I'm not making these things up. They're recorded for you in Scripture. Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9. And look with me in verse 20. And then the context here is that Gideon has defeated the Midianites, and now he's gone on, and there's a guy named Abimelech that wants to rule in his place. And he gets a group out of Shechem to support him in his desire to rule over the people. And in verse 20, Judges chapter 9, verse 20, Let's just look at verse 19. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal, that's the name that was given to Gideon, and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech, and what's the next word? Devour the men of Shechem and the house of Millo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo and devour Abimelech. Second way that the devil devours is by war. He devours by the wicked and he devours by war. See, these guys in Shechem had promoted Abimelech. He was one of theirs. And said, here, you be the judge, you rule. And the prophecy here from one of Gideon's sons was, you know what, if you've dealt truly with my dad by electing this guy, all right, let him reign. But if not, then let fire come out from him and devour you, and fire come out from you and devour him. You know what it is? These friends that promoted him into office are now going to become his enemies, and he's going to be their enemies. That's not an uncommon thing. In countries like Nazi Germany back in the time when Hitler came to power, he used the power that was in place to get to the place where he was. And once he became the chancellor, then he destroyed his enemies. That's a common thing. It's war. It's war. And sure enough, after just about 3 years, they became rivals and then enemies. And Abimelech was destroying them, and eventually they destroyed Abimelech. So that's the principle. The word is devour. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1 and notice it again in another context. Isaiah chapter 1. You say, what are you saying? Well, we're just looking how the devil works, and we're looking at the word devour that describes one area of the many that he works and how he accomplishes what he's doing. All right, so Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, 20 is the verse we want. Verse 19 in Isaiah chapter 1, here we go. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That's what the Lord's telling Israel. If you're willing and you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You look around in your world and you look at recent history and past history, you keep probably wondering, why is it that we keep having wars? Why is it that Russia has attacked Ukraine? And you can piece through all of that, NATO and all the other kinds of commentaries that people make about that. Why is it that Israel has sent missiles into Iran? And why is Iran destroying infrastructure and civilians in Israel? You look at all that and you piece it all together, and you can actually find credible reasons eventually why men did what they did. But I'm going to tell you what's really behind all that. You know what's really behind all that? The devil. Keeping nations at odds with each other and destroying each other. Do you understand when Jesus Christ comes to this earth, he's going to stop all this nonsense. You're in Isaiah. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, this is about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. So they're going to make military equipment used for as farming implements, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. He's going to put an end to it. But I'm going to tell you what. Don't think when you see nations cooperating with each other to put an end to war through something like the United Nations, don't think for a minute that they're going to succeed. Because there's an agitator. The devil is behind a lot of this that goes on with war. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. I'll show you, there are many passages, but I'm going to just go to Daniel chapter 7 and show you prophetically. We haven't even come to the time you're now going to be reading about in Daniel chapter 7. And there's just going to be war, and there's just going to be war, and there's just going to be more war. Daniel chapter 7. I don't tell you that to discourage you. I just want you to know when you pick up your paper and you see another nation is attacked, you'll understand why. Daniel chapter 7, verse 5. Verse 4 talks about a lion, and verse 5 talks about a bear. Another beast, a second like unto a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and do what? Devour much flesh. Look at verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth that devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. You see that? This dreadful beast here, right? And then notice in verse 19, I would know the truth of this fourth beast that we just saw in verse 7, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. What did he do? He devoured. You see it? He devoured, break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. Verse 23. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour what? The whole earth. And shall tread it down and break it in pieces. You know, when Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, hey, I'll tell you what the sign of my coming is going to be. Among other things, you'll hear about wars and rumors of wars. Well, that was no great guess or prophecy. As long as you got a devil and as long as you got nations, they're going to fight. And if you didn't have but one nation on this earth, they'd fight against themselves. That's war. You know about that guy. They tell that old story about that Baptist that got stranded on an island all by himself. Took him about 3 years before anybody found him. He learned to live off the island, coconuts and various other fruits that grew and dates and palm trees and things like that. And somebody finally realized where he was. They went over to the island. They found him, and he had three structures there, three structures on that island. They're like, wow. I mean, this guy was pretty well established on this island. And they said, tell us about these. He said, well, that right there, that's my house. Oh, that's cool. He said, and what that right there, that's my church. Or that was my church. Well, what's that over there? Well, that's the other church. We had a split. So, you know, I would love to be able to say to you, one of these days they're finally going to settle it and we won't have any more war. But until Jesus comes, no. Matter of fact, you can read in the book of Revelation, there's some big ones coming. And truly, when you add up the numbers of people that die in the wars before Armageddon, half the population of the earth is gone. That's unbelievable. In Revelation chapter 6, it says a fourth of the men are destroyed. Well, if you've got 8 billion people, that would reduce it down to 6 billion. And then in the next war, in Revelation chapter 9, a third of them are destroyed. Well, a third of 6 is 2. That leaves you 4 billion out of 8 billion. Can you imagine that? We talk about World War II, and I think they said, what was that, 19 million civilians died? That's going to be a small number compared to what happens in the wars that come. He said, I don't like that. Well, let me say something before we go to the last point. You're saved in here today before those wars in Revelation take place on this earth. You are going to be out of here at the rapture, just like we talked about this morning. And I'm going to tell you what. If you never had an incentive to get saved and get out of here when Jesus comes, that might be just enough incentive for you right there. People say the church is going to the tribulation. It seems to me I'm listening to rubberneckers that just want to see firsthand the disaster. I don't want to be anywhere near it. I don't want to be anywhere near it. I want to be out of here. Jesus said he's coming for his church before that stuff happens. Take me with you. I'm ready to go. I'm serious. So he devours by the wicked, and man, he infiltrates churches, and he infiltrates governments, and he infiltrates witnessing, and he infiltrates and constantly has his eye on Israel to take them out. And then he devours by war. It's just, you know, we have the United Nations, and when it was the League of Nations, the whole purpose was to put an end to war. That verse I read to you out of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, is on the United Nations building as if they were able to stop it. They're not going to be able to stop it because you got an adversary. There's a devil here, and that's how he devours. But I'm going to give you one more, just one more. He devours by the wicked. He devours by a war. Turn to Psalm 52 and look at verse 4. Would you say, on your way to Psalm 52, verse 4, would you say, man, that's bad how he devours by the wicked what we've seen? Would you agree with that? Yeah, it's bad. And then you look in there and you see how he devours by war and how many, you know, when you read in the Bible, women are ravished, the pregnant women are ripped up. And you read the accounts of war where those very things happened when enemies attacked another country. You can't even imagine that somebody would be so maddened in war that they would take innocent people like that and destroy them the way they do. That's war. That's the devourer, right? God created them, and the devil wants to destroy them. That's bad, wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Well, let me show you what's just as bad, but it seems innocuous by comparison. Psalm 52, verse 4, thou lovest all devouring words. You see that? Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. The devil devours by the wicked. The devil devours by war. And the devil devours by words. Getting a little closer to home. Getting a little closer to home. He devours by words. The Bible says, thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. You know, we've been so fortunate all these years together as a church. I believe that the Lord has brought here those that he wants to be here, brought us into union together, and then brought us into unity together. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You got to work on that. You know what the devil could do? He could cut loose the tongue of an individual here to start speaking devouring words. And like a roaring lion devouring the wicked and a roaring lion devouring by war, he could devour the unity of a church like this. You say, oh, preacher, that would never happen. I pray it doesn't. I do all the time. Regularly. You say, well, why would you even say that? You're kind of scaring us a little bit. Not trying to scare you at all. Trying to bring reality to the place and time where we are. Because I pastor here and have traveled to other meetings, and we have missionaries all over the world, really, that we support. You know, because of my age and time in the ministry, I get phone calls from people from time to time to help them through difficult situations. May I tell you, I can't even tell you how many times I've had to talk to pastors whose churches are being attacked by the devouring tongue. Yeah, and there has been damage done. Sometimes, thankfully, the pastors are able to follow counsel and follow the Bible, and the scorner using the tongue, the talebearer using the tongue, sometimes is the only one that leaves or takes him and just a handful of other people, because they never want to leave alone. They got to be vindicated and validated in their thoughts. Take a few people out with them. But I'm telling you, sometimes churches have been just laid wide open and gutted. I have a friend of mine, and he's retired now as a pastor, but he's still active in his church, and he still has responsibility. While he was pastoring, I remember being in his church when there were 250 people there. And they had one of these things right here that I'm talking about, these devouring words. And some men got up, and, you know, people feed on that stuff. And once that cancer started growing and those words started going, by the time the bloodletting was done, there were 50 people left in that church. Now, I've talked to the pastor over all the years and talked to him just recently. Just talked to him this past week, and he said to me, over the years, people that were caught up in all that have come back to me. And he said just recently, a lady who got caught up in all that came back to me and apologized and said to me, Pastor, we didn't handle that right. We didn't handle that right. But you know, he said, the sad thing is it affected her family and it affected her life. There was damage done to her. Well, I'm going to tell you what, when the devil does this kind of thing, he is interested in creating the greatest amount of collateral damage that he possibly can with devouring words. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. You say, oh, preacher, Christians wouldn't do a thing like that. I don't know. I've seen it so much, I wonder if that's not part of the M.O. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. We want 15, but I'm going to take you to 14 to start. The Bible says in Galatians 5:14, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's true. Yeah, you really should. But look at this, verse 15. But if you bite and, what's the next word? Devour one another. Well, if it comes to devouring, who might you think would be involved in that operation? Looks like the devil got in. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm telling you, we're very fortunate that we've really dodged this. But, you know, we do a lot for missions here, and I hope we get to do more. I've been encouraging you to get out of your comfort zone and start witnessing to your neighbors, coworkers, friends, and family members, and ask for help from us if you feel that that'd be scary or overwhelming. We'd love to go with you because they need to be saved. Or even just to be a confirming witness. Some of you have already, the other day when I got to go, this fellow had already witnessed to his family member, but he just wanted somebody else to go with a confirming witness. And we actually got further with the gospel than they had before. You start doing that, and VBS and some folks coming here that don't know the Lord yet, maybe some kids getting saved, and maybe some families getting saved because their kids want to come back to church and those kind of things. You got an adversary. You look at that and say, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't mind you coming here. You guys, I can't get you now. You're saved. If you just be y'all, that doesn't bother me too much. You get going out there and trying to steal things out of my territory. Lost souls getting to go to heaven when they die and missionaries getting support on fields. I'm going to see if I can't tear you up. You know where he'll start? It's an inside job with devouring words. We need to take note of that. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You never, ever want to be used by the devil to use your tongue in any way to destroy the spiritual unity of this body of believers in this church. You never want to do that. You don't want to leave yourself open to that. You say, how do I defend against it? You're in Galatians. Go to the next book, Ephesians. We're going to stop right here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. You say, how do we prevent that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 little words. Ephesians 4, 27. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. You say, well, preacher, sometimes you say things and that gets under my skin and I want to tell somebody about that. Well, stick around. I'll say some more things that'll get under your skin. It goes with the territory. I don't mean to do it. I never come here in hopes that I can somehow or another rub you the wrong way. I've never had that in my mind. Or step on your toes. People have said, man, I came here today. Man, you put your, what did you say the other day? Your finger reached all the way from the pulpit to the back row. I don't come here with that in mind. I'm preaching the Bible. But that will happen sometimes. If you take it personally as if I meant that for you to hurt you, and you feel like you got to go tell somebody else, you know, preacher, watch it. Or maybe it's not about me because I'm not speaking personally. Maybe it's about somebody else. I don't know why preacher lets. I don't know why we don't. Why is it that we, any of that stuff, you got to be so careful with it because we do want to be the best that the Lord wants us to be. And we do have to hear sometimes feedback, if you will, that helps the church be better. But I'm telling you, watch it. We got an adversary. He knows exactly how to use you. And if he's going around this world devouring the seed of the word of God sown, trying to kill off Israel, setting up religious people to take out people like prophets in Jesus Christ, and tearing up this entire earth with war, don't you know, and don't think for a minute that he wouldn't try somehow to infiltrate this work and do damage. And while we're studying the word devour, he'll do it by words. By the wicked, by wars, and by words. I've been helping some pastors here recently get through these kind of situations. And one pastor said to me, "Preacher, you can't believe," this is what he said, "you can't believe how many good people have been caught up in this. Good people doing good things for the Lord have been caught up in this, caught them completely blindsided." That's because that adversary we have is very wise. He knows how to infiltrate. He knows how to destroy. I'll guarantee you the last thing that I'd ever want to see is an infiltration by the wicked one in here destroying what God has put together. I don't want you to get, you know who pays the price on these things every single time? The sheep. They get devoured. It was in John chapter 10. Those were all about the sheep. That's what he's trying to steal. That's what he's trying to kill. That's what he's trying to destroy. Let's just be sober tonight and take this message and say, you know what? I am not going to give place to the devil and let this mouth be used by the devil with devouring words to destroy something God's trying to do in this place. Like I said, I don't have any wind of it. I'm not preaching this to confront somebody from the pulpit who's doing it. I don't know anything about it. But I'll tell you this. He's been exposed now. We know how he works. Don't let him use you. Don't let him use you. It hurts you. It hurts you bad. The only winner in those things is the devil himself. And he doesn't need to win any more victories. He's a bad dragon, needs his time in the lake of fire. The sooner the better, wouldn't you agree? Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight to be instructed and warned out of the words of God. You know, you've given us something to help us understand why this world is in the chaos it's in today. We have an adversary, you do. Understand why things get harder in places where men are serving in mission fields and governments are trying to shut down churches and shut down the preaching of the gospel. The best citizens in the country are the ones that are in those churches, but governments always see it as a threat. I pray that doesn't happen here, Father, in our country. We're so thankful to be able to enjoy the peace and comforts that we do. And you said that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. We do today. We don't have a restraint one, and I'm so thankful. Please help us, dear Lord, not to take this liberty we enjoy today for granted. Help us to be active, serious about telling others of the Lord Jesus Christ, helping them find their way to heaven and out of this world and certainly out of hell to come. Father, help us to be brave and wise and instructed from the scriptures we've heard. Help us to be very careful with our tongues, how easily they can be used to devour. Now we ask you to do all these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
318.
318.